If you've been sitting on the fence wondering whether it's finally time to refinance your house, today's low interest rates could help you make up your mind. That's right, it's true. Mortgage rates have never been lower, but is that the only thing to consider when deciding to refinance? Well, today, host Rob West talks with mortgage expert Dale Vermillion about the current real estate climate. Then it's your calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Is now a good time to refinance? Let's find out. That's next on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, our guest Dale Vermillion is author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home, but he's also the perfect guy to talk to about refinancing your home or rebuilding a Chevy 396.
We might have to ask about that a little later in the program. Dale, great to have you back on MoneyWise Live.
Oh, Rob, Steve, it's great to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Have you been building any cars lately, Dale?
Well, I haven't been building any, but I'm actually going to be going to a car show tomorrow to, you know, show off the Chevelle a little bit and have a little fun with it. So,
Dale, just make sure it's all in your budget. Okay, on to the next question.
If you start driving now, Steve, you might be able to make it there in time to join him. So, I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Hey, let's start with a little background, Dale, if you will. What drives mortgage interest rates, and why are we seeing these record lows today?
Well, you know, that's a twofold question, because what typically drives interest rates is the Treasury and the 10-year bond yields. That's what has always for decades and decades. But over the last several years, with all the economic downturns we've had starting in 2008 and up to now, we're seeing more and more the Fed is really controlling interest rates, and we are seeing rates right now at the lowest they've been in 49 years. It's just amazing. The average rate is 2.84% as of today. That's the average 30-year fixed rate on a loan. It's really incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible, and you can understand why there's been a huge run on refinancing, which is why so many of these companies are backed up. We're going to get into the details on how and why you should consider refinancing, but let's talk about the real estate market. What happens to the real estate market when interest rates are so low?
Well, you know, that's another interesting thing, because we are now in our 10th year on a national scale of increased property values. That's not common. You don't normally see that long of a run. And these low interest rates have really had a major impact and continue to bring them up. In fact, just in the last quarter, we saw a 12% increase in property values in one quarter nationwide. The median value of a home today is $313,000. That's among the highest we've ever seen in history.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah. You know, and we say you need to be careful, because you can't assume that housing prices will always continue to rise. But we're in one of these unique periods where, you said, it's been literally a decade. And, you know, we're seeing these big spikes in home values. Are you seeing any pockets where home prices are more reasonable?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that are really important to talk about when it comes to real estate today. And one of the biggest trends right now, Rob, that we're seeing is a real big push to vacation type, resort type areas is becoming a big thing because of all the work from home. It's becoming a very common thing that people now are saying, you know what, I'm working from home. I might for a long time. I want to work where I want to vacation. That's becoming a real big thing. So those values are going through the roof. The Midwest seems to have a little bit more median size values that people can actually afford and get into, and some pockets around other parts of the country where it's a little bit more rural and a little bit more suburban. You're seeing that too. One of the concerns we're seeing in the marketplace is people leaving urban areas because of some of the problems we've had in our cities over this year. That's a recent trend too that we're starting to see at the same time.
Dale, obviously, if you're selling a home in the midst of this, you're going to get top dollar, which helps you when you're buying at top dollar. What if you're a first-time home buyer, though? How do these conditions affect that group specifically?
Well, the biggest thing from a first-time home buyer is that you have to understand that, you know, values are up from where they normally are. You're going to have to be prepared to buy a little more, but you got to remember, you offset that through the interest rate. It is the most affordable time that we've seen to buy a home in a long time. So the fact that rates have gone down by almost 1.25% in the last 6 months, which is a massive drop, and they're the lowest ever, does allow you to be able to afford that. The key is just make sure you're doing your budget and doing all the things we teach you every time to make sure you're making a wise decision on that.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about a lot more. Should you rent if you can't afford to buy? And what are those rules for refinancing that and much more?
Here are the rules for getting involved in today's program. Just give us a call, toll-free, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise Live.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
Does the Bible talk about depression? That's Real, and I'm Hannah Lynn. Depression is on the rise due to social isolation, racial unrest, and all the confusing things that come with the pandemic. We find depression in the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Elijah was running from a horrible situation that threatened his life. He was worn out, tired, discouraged, and stopped under a tree. He told God, "This is enough," and questioned why he was even alive. God met him there in his depression. He gave him food, water, and told Elijah to sleep. Depression is a complicated issue, but God promises to meet you in your darkest moments and to give you what you need. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Reach out and don't do this alone. That's Real. Follow me for more resources on Instagram at That's Real Radio.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Nice to have you along today. It's MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And our guest, none other than our good friend, Dale Vermillion. He's the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. But of course, it's only simple because you've read the first half of the book. And that's how you get to the simple part. And we'll tell you how to find this book in a little bit. But first, all of a sudden, lots of blinking lights here. Let's take a call, guys, from Scott in Indianapolis. And what's on your mind, Scott?
Good afternoon, guys. I have a friend who has purchased a home, and he's got a loan at 4%, and he purchased or he borrowed $335,000. He's been aggressive and has paid down the loan. His current balance is like $210,000, but he's not willing to consider refinancing at a lower rate because in his thoughts is that he would be paying the highest principal at the beginning of the loan, and he doesn't want to start that whole loan process and paying a higher, the highest principal at the beginning of the loan again. So I'm just trying to give him some wisdom on how to pursue this.
Well, it's a great question, Scott, because this is where so many people find themselves, and they don't want to inadvertently, by going for a lower rate, put themselves in a bad spot because they're, in effect, resetting the term. Do you know what the original term was and how many years into this mortgage he is?
I believe that the original term was for 30 years, and he's already paid 5 years.
Okay. So, Dale, 25 years remaining. He's got, he owes $210,000 on a $335,000 home at 4%. He's obviously been aggressive at paying this down. What advice do you have given his concerns?
So, Scott, first off, your friend is very wise in his thought process, not wanting to repay money he's already paid, and I love that. But the fact of the matter is, the way that this is set up, because he's got 25 years left, you've got lenders all over the country that can do 25-year financing, 20-year financing, 15-year financing, some of them even odd terms, 22 or 23 years. So one of the great advantages of a refinance, and the way that you should always do a refinance for all the listeners, is you never want to re-extend term, because then you are repaying interest you've already paid. But his principal, when he refinances that on a 25-year loan, he's just picking up where he left off at a lower interest rate, which means that he is actually saving more money, storing his money better. It's a great use of God's resources. That's the way he would want to do it. And what I would do if I was in his position is try to get it down to maybe a 20-year loan for about the same payment based on the interest rate difference. He's cut 5 years right off. He is going to pay off much sooner and save tons of money during the process.
Dale, let me ask you, what about somebody who says, you know what, if I go with a 25-year mortgage program, I might limit myself in the number of lenders willing to offer that. I'm going to go with a new 30-year mortgage, but I'm going to ask them to run the amortization schedule to tell me how much extra I need to send every month to turn that 30-year into a 25-year. Does that work in theory?
It works in theory and not in practice, as Yogi Berra used to say. So look, here's the deal. We see this all the time.
Yeah.
We intend to do that. We might do it for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. One economic downturn, one thing that messes with our finances, we change out.
Yeah.
You want to be disciplined. I call this in the book a forced savings account. Create that forced savings where you force yourself into it, and then once you budget around it, you're good and you're assured you're going to get that benefit. That's the way to go.
Well, I think that's the key, is we want to make sure the payment fits, right? And we would say 25% for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. But if it does, let's try to at least match the remaining term, if not shrink the remaining term. Scott, do you feel like that helps you answer this question with your friend?
It does, and it really comes down to shortening the length of the remaining length of the loan. So as long as he stays less than 25 years, then he's in a better position to refinance.
Yeah,
what he's
going to see is he's picking up right at his principal plus any cost of refinancing a loan, which won't be that much money, and then he's accelerating principal much faster from day one. So because of the lower interest rate, less is going to interest, more is going to principal. He's going to see within a year a good difference in his balance.
Very good. Well, hey, Scott, we appreciate your call, and you're being a great friend and looking out for your buddy there, and we appreciate you checking in. Dale, let's get back to what we were discussing earlier. Let's talk about renting. You know, you mentioned interesting what's going on in the housing market right now. We've got historically low interest rates, which obviously may make some folks who are renting and feeling like they're throwing money away every month try to stretch to get that first home. Talk about whether you think renting is always a bad thing and whether or not we should try to push it to make that purchase.
Yeah, renting is not always a bad thing. It's not the preference, obviously. We want to try to buy a home. We want to get in the position where we're building equity. That's the key to it. That's good stewardship. But look, short-term renting can be a very good solution for people, and you never want to stretch beyond your means. You know, if you're buying just to buy and you're pushing yourself to an uncomfortable budget, that's a mistake. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure you're in a position of affordability and save up that money then for that home. So when you do buy it, you got a good down payment, you got a good affordable payment. I'd rather see you rent a couple more years and then own the rest of your life than try to push too quick and get yourself in trouble.
Hey, here's our phone number again. We're talking mortgages today, of course. What else would we discuss with Dale Vermillion? He's the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze. And if you're thinking about taking out a mortgage, maybe it's a first-time mortgage, maybe you're thinking of refinancing with these rates super ultra low, this would be a good time to think about it and a good time to call, because we have a bunch of open lines. 800-525-7000, toll-free 800-525-7000 if you'd like to speak with Dale and Rob West.
You know, Dale, we have our brand new MoneyWise app out. And by the way, if you haven't downloaded it yet, get it in your app store, whether that's the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, or you could just go to app.moneywise.org. And this is going to give you our digital envelope system, but also the community where you can engage with other MoneyWise listeners, post questions. And here's one from Louise, Dale, that just came in on the MoneyWise app. She's talking about a piece of property they have. It's a homestead property. They're planning on building on it. They're going to build a barn. And this was a new term for me. They're going to build a barn dominium. Have you heard that term before?
Wow. I have now.
I know. I love it. It's great. I mean, maybe they're going to rent these out or something. I don't know. It's fabulous. But here's the thing. They've got to sell their primary residence first. And she's wondering, should we get a construction loan and then pay it off with the proceeds of the home? Or should we delay this and try to pay it with cash? Obviously, we'd want them to try to delay it if they can, pay out of cash. That way, they're not going to get stuck with a construction loan and a home that won't sell, and now they're having to carry two mortgages. But let's say they decided to go ahead with the construction. What type of loan would they need, and what else might they need to know?
Yeah, you need what's called a construction to perm. So that's where the lender is going to bring the funds in to build the construction. And then when the home is done, they take care of, you know, making sure the inspections are done and all the permits are in place. And then when it's all done, they're going to convert that into a permanent mortgage. That's the best kind of loan to go for that. But Rob, I'm with you. Look, especially in today's marketplace where we don't know what coronavirus is going to do, we don't know what the economy is going to do, I never want to see people in a double mortgage situation ever, if they can help it, or to be caught midstream. So I would really recommend if you can wait, wait. If you can't, then look for a construction to perm loan.
I love it. If you want to get involved in the MoneyWise community, download the MoneyWise app today in the App Store. Hey, Dale, every line is full, and I think every one of them is a mortgage question. Can you stay around till the next segment?
I can. And by the way, the app is cool. I love it. Way to go.
All right. Great.
All right. Let's go to Tampa, Florida, not too far from where our guest is today. And let's see. Gabby, how can we help you?
Hi. Good afternoon. Hi. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Hi, thanks. What's your question for Dale?
My question is about first-time home buyer grants and loans. I don't know that much about that, so I just had some questions about it, if that's like a good call.
All right. Grants and loans for first-time homebuyers. Dale, go right ahead.
So there's a lot of first-time homebuyer programs. A lot of them run on state levels. What you want to do is talk to your local bank or local lender about what kind of programs they have. Many of those have what's called down payment assistance, which is a pretty cool program where you can go in and when you buy, you're going to get assistance on that down payment that if you stay in the home for a certain number of years, you don't have to repay that money. So there are some really good programs out there. It just depends on what that state offers. I would, again, talk to your lender and find out and see what they've got available.
Hmm. Gabby, we're glad you called in today. We wish you the best as you pursue this. Thanks so much. If you're just tuning in, it's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. And today, Dale Vermillion with us to help us work through the world of mortgages and where we are, where we're heading these days. What are you building? A barn dominium, a condominium, maybe a condo maximum, something really big. And we'll be right back after this.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
As Christians, we pay our bills on time. It's just saying that that's part of the responsibility, that's part of being a responsible believer, someone who respects authority, is that when we have borrowed, just like on a credit card for a purchase, we borrowed against that. When the payment comes due, we make that payment. It is saying we don't let that debt remain outstanding. Now let me say to you something that we all know. We has had financial disasters of one kind or another. I do not want you to get a load of condemnation on you. All of us have been in situations where we have needed urgent help. That's another matter entirely. And boy, does God call upon the body to be there for one another in a time of extremely urgent need. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is something that is so classic in the era that we live in, is that ordinarily one of the reasons why we can't pay our bills is because we have so much debt for so many extras in our life, so much excess in our lives, that then it becomes prohibitive to us to ever get it paid off. That's what he's speaking against. Just accruing a ton of debt on a ton of excesses and extras that we're never going to be able to pay off. And so he is pulling us in from there and says, if you want to owe something, I'll point you to owe love to one another. Let that be the only outstanding debt you've had.
We have two ways to experience Now That Faith Has Come, a study of Galatians. The online experience is now available at bethmore.org. The workbook edition will release in January 2021. Either way, Beth would love to have you in Bible study. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover The Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of The Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
The mortgage questions we have coming up: is it a good idea to make mortgage payments every 2 weeks? What to look out for when refinancing? Don't want to be trapped in some sort of a bad plan. We'll get to those questions, but first, it's Peter in Worcester, Ohio. And what's your situation there today, Peter?
Hello. My question is this. I'm living with my parents right now. I'm 19 years old. I'm looking to move out sometime in the future. I don't really want to rent. My parents have told me I can stay living with them as long as I continue to save most of my money. What would be the best way to get a property of my own without taking on a whole lot of debt? Obviously, saving and paying cash would be the best way, but what would be the best way that I could do that while still getting a property somewhat sooner than that?
Yeah, Peter, let me ask you a couple of questions, and I'd love for Dale to weigh in. First of all, tell me about your work situation, and then I'd also love to know how much you already have saved up that you could put toward a down payment.
All right. So I graduated last year from high school. I am working full-time in construction, actually working 50 hours a week most weeks. I've saved about $12,000, and I've been working that job since August. So I'm building money somewhat quickly, but you asked about that.
That was helpful. And how much are you able to add to that every month in your current environment living at home?
About $2,000 a month.
Okay.
A little more, a little less, depending on the month.
Sure. Dale, your thoughts?
Well, anytime you're looking to buy a home and move out of renting, the first thing you want to do is you want to do a comparative analysis of what you're paying in rent and what that would get you in a mortgage. That'll start to get you in a mindset of at least what you know you can afford comfortably and what's going to make sense for your budget. Then once you have that number, you can start to think backwards into, okay, what would it take to get 20% down for that amount and what's in my marketplace? And, you know, sometimes you can start with a condominium or a duplex as your first home or a smaller single family home to begin. You know, any kind of a starter is going to be a good start for you. I remember I bought my first home actually at 19, like you, and it was only $40,000 in 1980. But today that'd be probably $110,000, $120,000 equivalent, and it built equity very fast, and it helped me to buy the next house and the next house. So that's the best way to approach it. The key is take the time you got right now while you're being home with your parents to save that money up to get that good down payment. And if you get into something that's equivalent to rent, you're really getting yourself in a good position.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, mom and dad are giving you a great opportunity here. You're obviously a hard worker. You're already thinking about your financial future. Keep your lifestyle at a minimum. Try to save as much as you can. And being able to put not only 20% down, but imagine if you could put 30 or 40% down and really get yourself in a solid financial position moving forward. I think that would be great. Peter, stay on the line. I want to send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts, so you can explore this a bit further around the biblical principles of managing money. And we appreciate your call.
Yeah, and Peter, as you work toward getting your first home, apartment, condo, whatever it is, don't forget your education. You're still a very, very young man, and who knows what God has for you down the road a bit. Thanks so much for calling. Lehigh Acres, Florida, WSOR, our station in there, or down there. And Aura, what's your question today for Rob and Dale Vermillion?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, what if you're thinking about refinancing? And, you know, there are some things that these investors, they put in to push in the loan, in the in your loan. So I need to know what are the things that you can look out for in order for it to be exempted out of the preparation.
Dale, any traps she should keep her eye on as she's refinancing?
Yeah, you know, make sure first off that you're talking to multiple lenders. Talk to at least 3 to 4 between your bank, maybe a credit union, a local mortgage broker or banker, just to get some different perspectives. You can start online with that by going on places like Bankrate. Make sure you remember that when you refinance, you want to not just focus on reducing payment, but making sure you reduce that term on that mortgage. I mentioned that earlier. That's really critical. And most importantly, make sure you do a budget before you move into that so you know what you can afford. And then when it comes to the fees, remember, you can finance fees into the loan to minimize the cost on the front end. Just make sure that you're getting comparative offers so that you're getting a good deal between those lenders. And that way you know you're getting what you want.
Aura, we appreciate your call today. Dale, just a few seconds left. Julie, calling from Orlando, wanted to know about a biweekly mortgage payment, making her payments every 2 weeks, one half payment every 2 weeks instead of one payment a month. Your thoughts on that approach?
It's awesome because what it does is it creates literally, because you're paying a half payment every 26 weeks, it's 13 payments per year or one additional payment per year that you're paying. Therefore, you're going to see a reduction of, 3 to 5 years on a typical 30-year mortgage in your payback. It's a great thing to do.
A half a payment every 2 weeks gets you 4 to 5 years off your mortgage. I love it. Hey, Dale, thanks for stopping by today, my friend. We're so grateful for you.
Love you guys. God bless. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You too, Dale. Dale's book, Navigating the Mortgage Maze, you'll find it at our website, moneywiselive.org. Thanks for being there again, Dale. We're going to pause, and then we'll come back with your calls at 800-525-7000.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Hal Hudson, a biblical studies major at the Moody Bible Institute. As we remember our nation's veterans, the Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's Deuteronomy 31:6, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
You may know that you're loved by family, friends, by God, but do you really feel it? Dr. Gary Chapman and York Moore have teamed up to write Seen, Known, Loved, 5 truths about God and your love language. In it, you'll learn how to know your own love language and how God uses it to communicate with you personally. Learn how God is intimately involved in your life in beautiful and unexpected ways. Purchase your copy of Seen, Known, Loved at moodypublishers.com.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A hand recount of the votes cast in the presidential election in Georgia has gotten underway. The audit will be completed by next Wednesday. A resurgence of the coronavirus in New York City. Mayor Bill de Blasio says he will close schools if 3% of coronavirus tests over a 7-day period come back positive. The mayor says the city is preparing to close all school buildings as soon as Monday. If that rate crosses the threshold over the weekend, it's currently at 2.8%. Wholesale prices rose moderately in October as food costs jumped by the largest amount in 5 months. The Labor Department reports its Producer Price Index, which measures inflation pressures before they reach the consumer, increased 0.3% last month. Stocks higher, the Dow gained 399 points, the Nasdaq up 119. This is SRN News.
Hello, I'm Frank.
And welcome back to MoneyWise Live, moneywiselive.org. That's the place where you'll find, well, the homepage for our ministry. If you'd like to know more about who we are and what we do, if you'd like to find archives of past radio programs, free resources that you can use to balance your own home budget. Also, maybe you want to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your specific area, ways to connect with a budget coach. All of this and more when you visit our newly updated website, moneywiselive.org. Let's go up to St. Cloud, Minnesota now. And Ann, thanks so much for your patience. What's your question for Rob?
Yes, I have a question because I have mutual funds and some savings. Mm-hmm. And being the coins, there's been a shortage in coins and paper money. They say the value will be going down. And with our economy, many people for years have been saying to invest in gold or silver. So I'm wondering how beneficial that is and how, if you purchase gold, how do you utilize it? Because you're not going to give a hump of
right.
Someone.
Right. Well, and I would be careful with that. I mean, obviously, anytime we go through a period of unrest or uncertainty, and this would certainly qualify with a global pandemic, and we've got all kinds of market gyrations, especially early in the cycle of this pandemic, we see a rise in not only the number of people selling gold, physical gold, coins, and bars and so forth, but just a lot more talk about it because the price of gold tends to perform well during these periods of uncertainty. But I would guard against trying to get swept up into that for a few reasons. Number one is if we just look historically at the performance of gold, it tends to be more volatile than a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio and doesn't perform as well over time. Yes, there's kind of wild moves to the upside where people can get excited about a big gain, but just if you look over a long period of time, it just doesn't tend to perform quite as well. And so what do you do with that? Well, I'd recommend you have an allocation to gold in your portfolio, and the easiest way to do it, and is without taking physical possession, because to your point, very illiquid, and oftentimes buying and selling involves a dealer with a markup. Not only that, but you have to take possession of it. You've got to store it and secure it, which means a safe, and you've got to decide, is that in your home or at your bank or where? And then to your point, if you ever needed to convert it to cash, you'd have to sell it because you're not going to get out there with a chisel and pay for some gasoline with a bar of gold. So, you know, there's a reason to have it because it's a store of value. It's a hedge against a falling dollar and periods of unusual unrest. But I would do it through a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund. You can buy what are called tracking stocks or ETFs that basically the price of the underlying security mirrors the price, in this case, of the commodity, of gold. And as the price of gold moves up, it moves up with it, and consequently on the downside as well. And so it's a way for you to have an allocation to gold without actually taking physical possession and dealing with the other issues I just described. I would say you don't want more than 5% of your portfolio in that, just to maintain proper diversification. Does that all make sense to you, though?
Okay, so what did you mean by mutual fund? How do you do that then with an exchange or mutual?
Yeah, so for instance, if you buy an exchange-traded fund, which is essentially like a mutual fund, it's a basket of securities that trades like a stock. A great example, and this is not the only one, is the ETF GLD, which, as you might imagine, stands for gold. And it tracks the underlying movement of the price of gold. So it's a way for you to have an allocation in your portfolio to gold that's going to move with gold, but you don't have to take physical possession. And so you just own the ETF GLD. And there's ETFs that represent all kinds of commodities and precious metals and so forth, just like indexes. So that's an example of a way you can have an allocation of gold without having to buy the physical gold.
And what's the best way for Ann to maybe get some more details? And if she decides she wants to get involved, perhaps buy her way into the stock market, what's the best way for her to?
Well, you know, I would always recommend, when we're talking about our hard earned and saved money and putting it to work, having a professional who can help you make these decisions or make them on your behalf, obviously with your goals and objectives in mind. And so I'd look at having an investment professional. If you have the time and the expertise to do it yourself, perhaps that's what you've been doing, then, you know, depending on where you're custodied in terms of your portfolio, just about every custodian would be able to allow you to make a trade where you'd buy an allocation of an exchange traded fund like the one I mentioned. So it really just depends on, are you a do-it-yourselfer or have you delegated this responsibility to a professional?
But again, Ann, for most people, if you want to buy some gold as you look at the stock market and your life going forward, probably there are better ways than buying gold bullion, as you put it, breaking off a piece of chunk to or a chunk of gold to buy for a loaf of bread, or gold coins. They also are difficult to handle, manage, and store. There are better ways to do that, and the stock market is a much better way than taking possession of physical gold. Thank you very much. Chicago, Illinois. Tracy, how can we help?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Two quick questions. One is, my husband and I have about $100,000 in savings, but it isn't earning any money. So we thought that we would maybe take about $25,000 to put it either towards our mortgage or one of our vehicles. We are going to refinance to a 15-year mortgage at about 2.25 is what we were offered. So I don't know if it would be better to put the money towards the vehicles and wanted to like split it up and put it towards the principal of the vehicle. And if we did that, does that work the same as when you're paying down the principal on a home?
Yeah. What are the interest rates on both, on the car loan as well as the home?
The interest on the home, we have an offer. Right now we have a 30-year, but we had an offer for a 15-year, which is what we wanted, because we want to pay it off quickly as possible, at a 2.25 for the 15-year. And
okay.
The vehicles.
Go ahead.
The vehicles, one is at 1.9. But the other one is at 2.99.
Okay. And the mortgage, you said you're considering refinancing, or you have an existing mortgage that you're looking to hang on to?
We would like to refinance, but we want a shorter term. Now we have the 30-year, and so we would like to go with the 15-year, and we were told through our credit union that they can offer us around 2.25 for a 15-year.
And that's a fabulous rate. I think the thing you're going to want to look at there, Tracy, is whether there's discount points there, whether they're charging you a good bit on the front end to kind of buy down the rate, or whether that is the APR that they're offering right out of the gate and you're only paying, you know, normal and customary closing costs. So you're going to want to look at that and probably shop it around and compare that good faith estimate to some other lenders, at least get, I would say, three to compare it to. You know, I like the idea of you owning these cars, especially just because, you know, these are depreciating assets. And so I'd love for you to get out from under that payment every month. And so I think you refinancing to this 15-year and then using that surplus over and above your emergency savings to pay off the cars makes a lot of sense. Every dollar you pay toward that principal will go right against reducing that balance. And with simple interest, which is what the car loan is, it's basically exactly what the calculation is for interest every month. But the principal payment goes right against it. We'll be right back.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. You may be running out of time to get your friends and loved ones into heaven. These are not normal days, and they could be the end of days. No one knows. But what if they are? What if we heard the sound of the trumpet tomorrow? How many of your friends and loved ones that you want to get into heaven would be left behind? They're already halfway there thanks to the world we're living in. It's impossible to feel safe and carefree today without knowing for sure where you're going to spend eternity. Because even unbelievers know that eternity can start at any moment. This is a huge opportunity. Think about it. You can't influence most of what's happening today, but you can hugely influence where your friends and loved ones will spend their eternity. If you want to. Do you want to? There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
We're living in a materialistic society in which the pull of the world is a constant pressure on all of us.
Billy Graham talks about worldliness.
You cannot confine worldliness to a particular walk or circumstance of life. Worldliness is actually a spirit, an atmosphere, an influence permeating our lives, and it needs to be guarded against day and night. If ever there was an hour when God's people need to be different and separated from the world, it is now. We will never win the world by conforming to the world's standards and ways. We will win the world only when we are different and demonstrate that this difference is superior to that the world has to offer.
Would you like some ideas on how to do that? Check out our website, findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, here's a great verse for us any day of the week. It's Proverbs 8, verse 10. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Let's go back to our phones, Dallas, Texas. And Renee, thanks for your patience, sir. How can we help you?
Thank you very much. Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for your ministry. I listen to it practically every day when I'm taking a little walk here in Dallas. But anyway, the situation is my daughter, who's single, 34 years old, and as a mom and dad felt it was good for her to establish herself. So we did sell her our only house that we've ever owned back 29 years ago. So we bought the house for $80,000, and My daughter was happy with us selling it for $165,000. So the question I have, I did get the proceeds from the real estate transaction, the 1099 form for 2020, and that shows that we had capital gains of $180,000. So my understanding is that when I bought the house back then and what I'm paying for it now, would I have to do a capital gain amount shown on my this coming year's tax forms?
Let me make sure I understand. So this was not your primary residence, is that right?
No, we live in the parsonage. We've been here 7-8 years at the parsonage. The church has. Yes, sir.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so yeah, the key here would be, since this was not your primary residence and you don't get that exclusion from capital gains, you've got to determine what is truly your gain, and that's going to be, you'll want to involve a tax professional to make sure you have that number right. It's essentially, the selling price minus the purchase price, minus any improvements you made along the way, and any transaction costs to come up with your true gain, and that's then going to be a capital gain, long-term capital gain that you will pay tax on with your 2020 tax return. I think the key whenever you're selling to a family member, and it sounds like you addressed this given the appreciation that it took place, is, but you want to make sure that you're selling it at fair market value, because the IRS, if you sell it for less than fair market value to a family member, they're going to consider that a gift. And that's obviously, you can make a gift of up to $15,000 a year per person. And then beyond that, it's going to eat away at your lifetime gift exclusion. So just recognize, if it was less than fair market value, that's a part of the equation. If not, then you're perfectly entitled to sell to a family member as long as it's at fair market value. But yes, there would be a capital gain on that. And you'll just want to make sure you get some counsel on exactly what that number is and then plan for it so it doesn't catch you by surprise when you file your return for this year.
Pastor, does that help?
It sure does. Yeah, thank you so much for your ministry and for the direction that God is using your ministry for His glory. So, yeah, we thought about this, and we're supporting other ministries beyond our church. And my wife introduced me to your app, and I tell you, it's been a blessing just to listen to the questions and the wisdom that God has given you guys to help us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. What an encouragement. God bless you, sir, and we appreciate your call today.
Amen. All right, let's continue on here quickly. West Palm Beach and Maria, what's your question for Rob West?
I am so glad. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, and I am so glad that I was able to go through this time. This is my third time that I'm trying.
Oh.
This is my question. very soon, next year in February, I'm going to start receiving my survivor's benefit. Yes. I am not very sure how much that is going to be. It's not going to be much anyways, because my husband and I, we moved to United States close to our 40s. So we didn't have much history time to be able to put money on our Social Security.
Yes.
My question is this. The only debts that I have is the mortgage. I was able to buy a condominium like 4 years ago, and my car. I am not planning on using that money at all because I am still working, and I am not planning to retire until either they kick me out or the Lord takes me home.
Okay.
Therefore, my question is, I bought a 403, I think it's A, through my employer, which is the school district, but I have not been able to put much on it, and my concern is my retirement. So my question is, what do you think that would be the best way to use the money from that is coming from the survivor's benefit? Would be to put that on any of my two debts that are the car or my mortgage, or should I use that money and start putting it on my phone? I can make sure that I make that grow.
Yes. Let me ask you, Maria, is the reason you haven't been contributing to the retirement plan, you just don't have enough? You need every bit of your paycheck just to cover your expenses, including your debt payments, or some other reason?
Well, no, I have the Florida retirement system.
Okay.
And for 15 years now.
Got it. Okay. So in terms of where to put this money, I mean, with the Social Security survivor's benefits, obviously, I love the fact that that's going to be extra money to you. And so I think you need to understand a couple of things. Number one is, if you don't know what to expect in terms of your survivor's benefits amounts, because you, as you said, you came to the U.S. in your 40s, and so you want to know, based on how the number of years you've been paying into the Social Security system, what your benefits are, you can call the Social Security Administration, even make an appointment in the local office. They'll walk you through that. That would be a good starting point. Second, I think it's really important to understand what you can expect from the FRS, the Florida Retirement System, when you get to that point. I understand you're going to continue to work, and that's great, because then that gives you the survivor's benefits to repurpose. I think in terms of how to allocate those funds, assuming you feel like you're on track with the retirement you're going to receive added to the Social Security benefits, either the survivor's benefits or your own benefits that you might claim down the road, if those are enough to cover your needs in retirement, then that's great. Then I'd focus on, A, making sure you have 3 to 6 months in your emergency fund, and I'd have that in an online savings account linked to your checking account. Use the survivor's benefits to fund that first. And then second, I'd start going after paying off that car. I'd love to see you recoup that monthly payment for you to do additional savings. Once the car's paid for, and we've got enough going into maintenance and reserves, then I think you want to begin attacking that mortgage, because I'd love to see you enter the retirement years completely debt-free with Social Security and the FRS at the same time, and that'll really put you in a strong position moving forward. Mm.
Maria, thank you very much. Appreciate the fact that you got through today after three attempts. Indianapolis. Hi, David. What's your question for Rob?
Hi. Yeah. So I recently, a neighbor of mine is an insurance agent, and she's been trying to sell us some life insurance for our children. And I've got some extra income now that I can either use towards life insurance policies. I've got 2 kids, 4 and 2, or I also recently started a college savings 529 plan with some inheritance money for them. And I didn't know, I've got a small amount of life insurance from my employer, but does it make sense to, rather than take out a separate policy, just use that extra income and put it into the 529 monthly, or, you know, take this $80 a month and take out a separate life insurance policy?
Yeah. I like the second option there. I mean, obviously 529 plans and permanent life insurance are both ways to create college funds for kids. I much prefer the 529 because you can save on a tax deferred basis. Withdrawals are tax free if you use them for qualified educational expenses. The permanent life insurance is going to include, as you know, both the death benefit and the savings account. You can borrow against it to pay for college, but you know, the downside is it comes with costly fees, which can make it considerably more expensive each year than a 529. And I think the question is there really a need for that death benefit? So I'd much rather you take that surplus, put that into a 529 for your son, and just continue investing that systematically between now and college, so you've got that to fall back on when that time comes.
Hmm. David, thank you very much. Plant City, Florida. Daniel, we have like 45 seconds, so let us hear it quickly.
All right, I bought a house. It's through a private individual. I've got 12 years left on my mortgage, and I want to refinance because I want to build a barn, but my lien holder, the previous owner, he doesn't like the idea. So he says, oh, you don't need a barn. I've got a 0% interest loan with him.
Wow.
Payment, taxes, insurance, everything is $750 a month. And I know interest rates are low right now, but am I completely stupid to do that, to eliminate that problem?
Well, what about taking a second mortgage to build the barn if you've got 0% on the first one?
Well, I don't need the mortgage to build the barn. I need the right to build the barn because the property is still in his name.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought the title, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the next step is really to sit down and see if you can talk that through just to make known why it is you're doing this. And obviously, if this is the direction you feel the Lord is leading, then I think refinancing, taking him out of that position by paying it off in full so you can regain the title and then have the ability to, through a new mortgage, you know, make the improvements you want to make on your property. I think that's the key. So this has obviously been a blessing to you. But if you feel like you want to move ahead with something that you're being prevented from, I think this is the only way to do it. Good news is it's a great time to do it because interest rates are very, very low. Certainly not 0%, but not too far away.
Daniel, God bless you, sir. Thanks for so much for your patience and for holding. And we hope you have a great weekend. And we hope you have a good weekend as well. That includes you, Rob West. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Drive safely. Join us again next time for another edition of MoneyWise Live.